I met with a nice young man this past week who wanted to get the church to sponsor his magazine sent unsolicited into affluent neighborhoods in the area. He had stories of all kinds of businesses who advertised with him and how this new way of thinking about print media was such a boon to their businesses. This kind of targeted marketing, he assured me, would get our name out to these neighborhoods, would make people aware of our little confessional liturgical Lutheran congregation so that they would come here, presumably tithe from their affluence, and swell our ranks. I told him, politely at first, that the Lord's church is not in the business of marketing. The Holy Spirit uses His Word and His sacraments like beacons that draw in the Lord's elect to the places where He delivers forgiveness and eternal life. But maybe, unless the Holy Spirit uses targeted marketing, sending His beacon into the neighborhoods most likely to have affluent folks interested in a Lutheran church, He's not as successful or effective as He could be. But then, there's this parable. If I were clever, after this guy made me watch his 7-minute video on his cell phone, extolling the wizardry of his magazine's unsolicited mailing to households they deem receptive, I would have made him listen to Jesus' description of church marketing in the parable of the sower. How's this for targeted marketing? A sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell among the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and as the thorns grew up with it, they choked it out. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. You could be excused for thinking that the sower doesn't do market research, has not done any demographic studies or soil samples or anything that would make for a bountiful yield. The point of all the parables is to confound you, to confuse you according to earthly ways. As Jesus says, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. So, if you are a sower, don't sow like the sower in the parable. That's not the point of the story. As a sower, you do need to know the quality of the soil you're sowing into. If necessary, break up the hard-packed soil, remove the rocks, pull the thorns, make the best use of the seed. And if you run a business, you should know how to market your business effectively. Target the right audience. But Jesus is not a worldly sower, and His church is not a business. Efficiency, strategy, marketing, vision statements, these are not the substance of the Lord's church. The sower seems downright reckless, almost careless with his seed, scattering the word even on hearts that he knows will be infertile, unreceptive to his life-giving word, raining his word into ears that he knows will be stubborn and sealed to his word. And yet, he sows. When the word fails to bear fruit, when the devil quickly snatches it away, when it is choked out by the cares of this world, when faith withers in time of testing, the deficiency is not with the sower or with his seed. The problem is with the soil. When congregations fade out, when members leave, when people refuse to hear the word of God, the deficiency is not with the word. God's word and sacraments are always effective. The problem is with the hearers of the word. The warning in the parable is less to those who have already hardened their hearts, plugged their ears to the word of God, than to you. who are here, still hearing the word and receiving the word of God. Whoever has ears to hear, Jesus says, let him hear. Repent of hard hearts and stubborn ears. Repent of giving in to the devil's trickery in times of trial and temptation, in times of peril and persecution. Repent of letting the thorns of worldly pleasures and pursuits occupy a place in your heart alongside the word of God, or causing you not to be a hearer of the word. Repent and remain exactly where the word is continually sown and the soil is carefully cultivated in the Lord's church. The problem is always with the soil, never with the seed. And yet, even in problematic, infertile, rocky, hard-packed soil from which you could never expect to grow a crop, it is impossible for the seed not to function. The Lord promises, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the ground, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish the purpose for which I send it and succeed in the thing for which I send it. The quality of the word, not of the soil on which it lands, is what matters. The seed is the word of God. And the word is the seed of the woman, the flesh of the virgin. The word became flesh, seed. And he, the word, does not return empty, but he accomplishes the purpose for which he is sent. He takes the sins of the world, pulls the weeds and the thorns, and lets them be woven into the crown that will pierce his head. He waters and works the soil with his own sweat and blood, pouring out every drop from his pierced body. The infertile, stony ground receives his crucified and lifeless body, and like a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, and in the spring produces a healthy plant. He sprouted alive from the tomb. Because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the dead, lifeless soil of mankind has a new hope. You, who only otherwise had hoped to return to dirt and decompose, now have hope beyond the grave. But you can't market that. You can't package it slickly enough to sell it. It's illogical, nonsensical. God became man so that men could be like God. The Creator died for his creatures. That doesn't make any sense. Come and see is all you can offer to those with quizzical expressions on their faces, wondering at the peculiarity of such a confession and such a confidence. And yet, there's no targeted marketing. This good news is for everyone, not just for affluent neighborhoods, but for all people. The sower will scatter his word even where he knows it will have no effect. He must. His love compels him. He does not love only those who will return his love. He does not die just for the elect. He dies for the world. He loves all people. That love is beyond comprehension. And yet his love is such, so deep, that it suffers itself to be rejected. Though some be snatched and some be scorched and some be choked and matted flat, the sower sows. His heart cries out, oh, what of that and what of that? Of all his scattered plenteousness, 1/4 waves ripe on hill and flat and bears a harvest 100-fold. Ah, what of that, Lord? What of that? That's perfect love. Not coercive, but freely given. The Lord Jesus has tilled the hard-packed soil of your lifeless heart with his law stirring up repentance, causing you to see that there is nothing good in you, no hope for salvation on your own, no means by which to bear the fruit of faith and good works. And He has placed into you His seed, the Word. Faith comes by hearing. And He has poured on the endless, life-giving water of His holy baptism. He continues to scatter His Word into your heart in the preaching of His gospel, in the proclamation of His holy absolution. And He continues to plant Himself inside you in His holy supper. The seed of the Word is such, so powerful that it transforms soil from dead into living, from impenetrable into fertile. Good soil, transformed by the Word Himself, naturally bears good fruit. It's not a matter of numbers. All the Lord's elect will be saved. You are not called to be successful, just to be faithful. The Word delivered to you is successful. Pastors are not called to be successful, but faithful. The Word and sacraments they are entrusted with administering, they are successful. The church is not called to be successful, but faithful. Her Lord alone is successful. Even in your daily vocations, neither are you called to be successful, only faithful. Faithful with the Lord's Word. God through His Word is always successful. And you, through His gifts, are always faithful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.